Our scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. And at the end of 8 days, when he was being circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we have now concluded the season of Advent, which is the 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas, which led us into Christmas Eve, which is the transitional period between Advent and Christmas time. And Christmas really extends beyond Christmas Day. It's the 12 days of Christmas, Christmas Day being the first day of Christmas. And so we are, this Sunday is the 2nd Sunday of Christmas. And then depending on which church tradition that you follow, there's a 3rd and a 4th Sunday as well. And so we are going to remain in our Voices of Christmas series today and then on the 10th as well. And our story today that we're looking at, this story after Jesus' birth, there's 2 scenes. And the first happens when Jesus is just 8 days old. And then the second scene happens when Jesus is about a month old. So verse 21 is when Jesus is 8 days old, and then beginning in verse 22, Jesus is about a month old, and his parents have come to observe the law. And then at the end of the passage, Luke tells us that the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. That the child grew, he became strong, that he was filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Why? Well, because he's the Son of God, number one. But then one important contributing factor was the righteousness of his parents. The righteousness of Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph showed their righteousness by obeying the angel's instructions to name the baby Jesus. The angel had appeared to both of them and instructed both of them that they were to name the baby Jesus. And we know from the description of Joseph that he is described as being a righteous man. That Gabriel tells them that they're to name the baby Jesus because he will save people from their sins. And imagine this, that every time now that they call upon the name of their son, Jesus, they will be remembering that God has come to save them, that they will be reminded of their obedience before the Lord. What a remarkable thing. And they show their obedience to God by obeying the law of God. They respond not only to the supernatural revelation of the angel, but also to the written word of God. You know, oftentimes people wait around for something like an angel to appear to them before they begin to follow after God, when he has already revealed everything that we need to know in his word. And that we oftentimes forget that the Bible, that we have the words of God in front of us, is just as miraculous as any words that would come from an angel, because they are the same words. They are the words of the Lord. And so Mary and Joseph are obedient to God. And really, the instructions that they are following come from Leviticus 12. And it says this: "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days.'" And then Jesus is circumcised on the 8th day. "As at the time of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are completed. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks as in her menstruation, and then she shall continue in the blood of her purifying for 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb a year old for a burnt offering and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, and he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, either male or female. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean." You have to love the language of Leviticus. It reminds us very much of our humanity. But really, their obedience creates this context, this example for Jesus to follow. And within this story of Jesus, we gain the sense that Mary and Joseph, as if we didn't already know it, are incredibly poor. Because within this account from Luke, we see that they offer 2 turtle doves, which is, in Leviticus, what you are supposed to do if you can't afford a lamb. And so even in Mary and Joseph's offering, we see their poverty. And that implies to us at least 7 things. First, that poverty is not a sin. Second, that poverty is not God's disapproval. He was born into it. That poverty does not prevent a person from worshiping God. Remember the shepherds. Poverty does not necessarily doom a person to poverty forever. Poverty does not excuse unrighteousness. It would have been easy for Mary and Joseph to say, oh, we can't afford to make the sacrifices. But even in the poverty, they made them. Poverty is not shameful in and of itself. And then poverty is a struggle, or what some would refer to as a cross to bear, that God has entrusted to some people for a time. And remember this, that poverty is not always financial. That you can be poor in spirit, poor in faith, poor in companionship. That there are many ways to be poor. So parents, remember to set an example for your children of what righteousness looks like. Even in the midst of your poverty, no matter what that poverty looks like, what is your life lacking? And in the midst of that, show your children what it looks like to be righteous. And for those of you who are thinking, well, I don't have children living at home, or I don't have children at all, there are many children in this church, in this community. They see you. They're watching you. Kids, pay attention. If you don't believe me, I'll introduce you to Elliot. And he pays attention to what you're doing, because he learns things that I haven't taught him, some good and some bad. But even now, you have the opportunity to begin living your lives more righteously, remembering that there are young eyes that are watching you, and that you have every opportunity to teach them and show them what it looks like to be righteous before God, even in the midst of the poverty that exists in your life. So we have this wonderful introduction into the righteousness of Mary and Joseph. And then we are introduced into these two incredible characters, Simeon and Anna. They're older. Once again, isn't it interesting how the nativity story, the story of Jesus' origin, highlights really the very young, the infant, the young Mary. And then over and over again, it tells us these stories of people who are advanced in years, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Simeon and Anna, that from birth to death, God has a plan for your life. But Simeon, like Mary and Joseph, was dedicated to obeying God's word. He was full of faith. And he was waiting for this promise that he would receive from the Holy Spirit, that he would not die until the Messiah had come. And really had this rare gift for this time in history, where he had the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was dwelling within him. And it was by the power of this Holy Spirit that we find Simeon coming to the temple that day. And then we have Anna. If you ever want a picture of what devotion and godliness looks like, look to Anna. She was a prophetess, which was really not unusual, even in this context, for a woman to be a prophet. Even in the Old Testament, we see it. And it's this reminder that God, from time to time throughout history, raises up women, and oftentimes... This is special and unique because of the context in which we are talking about. The ancient Israelite context, and where women had very few rights or status in society, but God uses even them in their culture and context. So verses 27 through 35 record Simeon's prophecy regarding Jesus. So we have this man advanced in age, led by the Holy Spirit to the temple that day. He appears and he just knows. He knows that this baby is Jesus. And he takes him out of his parents' arms, and he draws him close to him. You know, and as I thought about that, I remember with Emerson, you know, being first-time parents, and we were in youth ministry and showing up to youth group, and all these middle school boys hopped up on Mountain Dew and Skittles wanting to hold, you know, newborn Emerson, and it's like this fear. And these are kids that we knew, let alone some stranger coming up to us at church and just grabbing our baby from us. But this is what Simeon does. Simeon, he takes this child and he looks him in the eyes and he begins with this prophecy. And he says that this child, this baby, will be the consolation of Israel and the light of the world. That he will bring light and the glory of salvation not only to the Jew but to the Gentile, to the entire world. He will bring these things. That all nations will come to him for light and life. And then as he's holding this child, he turns to the parents and he says, because this child will be a light, it will be the type of light that exposes. And because he exposes, people will oppose him. That this opposition will be violent, it will be piercing, and it will penetrate even his mother's heart also. So imagine this scene, this stranger coming and taking your child and giving this amazing prophecy about them, and then reminding you of what the future holds, the pain that you will have to endure. But Simeon sees the salvation from the Lord in his arms, and he glimpses his eternity. He sees in his hands what will cause the poor to be risen up, and the wealthy, powerful religious leaders to fall. All in this baby. And really, all of us are presented with this choice. Will we worship? Will we follow Jesus? Or will we oppose him? Because Jesus still exposes hearts. Mine and yours and everyone else's. And when we expose things, it provokes opposition. So which side are you going to be on? Are you going to follow or oppose? Experience loss early in her marriage and a lifetime of faith. She's at the temple all the time. And really, I think you and I, we all know women who look like this. Men too. People, these are really the people when you're thinking about somebody to volunteer for a ministry at church, the people that you think of first. The people that are always seem to be around. Each and every one of you has the opportunity to be one of those people. Each and every one of you has the opportunity to spend more time at church. And hear me when I say this, that when I say church, I do not necessarily mean this building. There's plenty that the church, not just this church, but the church does outside of this building. And if you don't find something that fits like your personality or what you want to be doing, that our church, if we're not doing it, start. I mean, we would love it. You know, for new ministries to be born out of your passion. Or I can almost guarantee you this, that somebody else is doing a ministry that's similar. What would it look like for us to partner with another church? You know, we don't have a monopoly on the gospel. We don't have a monopoly on the message. And so we most definitely can partner with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So stop allowing your poverty to prevent you from doing we may not have what you're looking for. You may be without, but don't let that stop you from doing. And so Jesus' purpose is revealed through this passage, that he came to save people from their sins. Both the Jew and the Gentile, both men and women, both the young and old, and both the rich and the poor, he came to save everyone. That our obedience creates a context in which others can learn what it looks like to be obedient to God. That in the midst of our poverty, we continue to be righteous and we don't allow the lack of anything to stop us from following what God has commanded. That we can be a resource and an example for those who are younger than us in age and in faith. That we can show them what it looks like to live for Christ. That we can share the good news with the people around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Holy God, you are so vast, and yet you took on the form of this tiny baby boy, born into poverty. It's this reminder of the great lengths that you are willing to go to because you love us, because you desire to have a relationship with us. You invite us to be part of the story, that you are constantly inserting yourself into our stories. And we thank you for that, God. We pray that you would help us to be righteous examples, that our children and the people around us would look to us and they would see what it looks like to be a faith-filled follower of you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that what we learn at this season would not quickly fade. That the seasons fade and change, but we pray that what we learn now would remain with us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.